From the live music capital of the world, this is the Austin Music Experience. I'm Jody Denberg. For over 30 years, the Austin Music Awards have celebrated the best music Austin has to offer. Today on the program, we talk to journalist Margaret Moser, who's stepping down as award show director after 3 decades. She gives us a little history on the awards and some memories, including Jimmy and Stevie Ray Vaughan's fiery 1984 live performance.
There is very definitely some rivalry going on stage that night. They were trying to outdo each other.
Plus, we'll take a listen to live recordings from some Austin Music Award winners, including Lucinda Williams, Mother Falcon, Quiet Company, and more. Also, new music from all across the musical spectrum, the week's music news, and more as the Austin Music Experience gets underway. This is the Austin Music Experience. I'm Jody Denberg. A little later in the program, we'll talk with Margaret Moser, longtime director of the Austin Music Awards and Austin Music Poll. She's stepping down from both this year, so we'll get a little history and some of her favorite musical memories from over the years. But first, as per usual, we like to kick the show off with new music. In a moment, a new Austin band called Genuine Leather. Also, a little sneak preview of the next release from Emily Wolfe. But up first, one of Austin's most in-demand bassists. He's been in our Studio 1A with Arthur Brown and Poi Dog Pondering over the last few weeks. He also plays with The Resentments and Bob Schneider's Lonely Land and countless others. It's Bruce Hughes, who's also a solo artist. And here's a new song from Bruce, smacks of Harry Nilsson. It's called Days Are Beautiful on the Austin Music Experience.
Hello, darling, please tell me how can the sky move so slowly when all around the world the wind keeps on a whispering your day? Didn't you tell me love's forever? Didn't you tell me forget it never? Didn't you tell me the days are beautiful now? The past is merely a speck of light. Can you see it? The future's the sun. It shines so brightly that everything feels like any second we could burst into flames.
Oh, like a crazy butterfly for you.
Didn't you show me magic power? Didn't you tell me world is ours? Didn't you tell me the days are beautiful now?
For decades, most folks in Austin know Bruce Hughes as a bassist, but he's a skilled songwriter and singer, as evidenced by that song from his new solo album, The album's called Trap Door, and that was Days Are Beautiful, a nice start to the Austin Music Experience. You can often find Bruce Hughes on Tuesdays at the Saxon Pub, but you can always find him on Sundays as a long-standing member of the Resentments. We continue with a band called Genuine Leather, led by Chris Gallus, who also fronts the band Gorgeous Hands. Genuine Leather has a few singles. A full-length album is in the works. We've got their new single. It's called The Enemy on the Austin Music Experience.
See, don't swear to me, I'm not the enemy. They're taking everything away with an unbroken smile. And I'm starting to like it. Can't you have yourself believe that's how it's supposed to be? You don't have to run away this time. Oh, I bet. Yeah.
That was Austin's Emily Wolfe, and if you only know her debut from a couple years ago, you might be surprised by that new single, Swoon. The debut is pretty much acoustic, but on this new album that's forthcoming, she's been working with Mike McCarthy, best known for producing Spoon and Patty Griffin. They're working with a full band. Emily Wolfe will showcase for South by Southwest. And she was preceded by new music from a band called Genuine Leather. Their new single is The Enemy, and they also have a full-length album in the works. Coming up, Margaret Moser on 32 years of the Austin Music Awards. Plus, a few live highlights from Austin Music Poll winners Lucinda Williams, Quiet Company, and more. Stay with us. From the live music capital of the world, this is the Austin Music Experience.
I'm Gary Hartman with the Center for Texas Music History at Texas State University in San Marcos. This week in Texas Music History, we'll honor a singer who refused to work for peanuts. Vicente Fernandez was born on February 17, 1940 in Jalisco, Mexico. As a young man, he performed often for weddings and other events in his hometown. However, when he traveled to Mexico City in 1965 to audition for several national record labels, he was turned down and told that he'd be better off selling peanuts on the street corner. In 1976, he recorded what would become one of the biggest Spanish language hits of all time.
Este amor apasionado anda todo alborotado. Voy camino a la locura y aunque todo me tortura, sé querer y volver, volver, volver.
Vicente Fernandez became a star throughout Mexico and the American Southwest, and he has been a major influence on countless Hispanic artists in Texas. Next time on This Week in Texas Music History, we'll visit a home recording studio that produced some of rock and roll's biggest hits. This Week in Texas Music History is made possible in part with support from Humanities Texas. I'm Gary Hartman.
With your weekly roundup of Austin music news, I'm Tyler Pratt, and this is your Soundcheck. Big news on the South By front this week. Apple's bringing out the iTunes Festival. That's right, it's a festival inside of a festival. This week, South By announced that iTunes is bringing their festival stateside to ACL Live at the Moody Theater, 4 or 5 nights. So, who's performing? Well, from March 11th through the 15th, acts will include Imagine Dragons, Pitbull, London Grammar, Zedd, Keith Urban, Willie Nelson, and, oh yeah, Coldplay. If you're registered for South By, you can enter a drawing to win tickets to the shows. Otherwise, you can stream them live or download them with your Apple apps and devices, of course. The University of Texas at Austin is facing a music challenge. Earlier this year, UT procured a music collection for their fine arts library from the university's public radio station, KUT. About 4,000 LPs and 60,000 CDs. And while the acquisition increases the library's collection by about a third, as the Chronicle for Higher Education reports, processing and storing the collection is presenting a bit of a problem. What cost only a little to purchase may cost a lot more to house. The Fine Arts Library needs to hire additional staff to process the influx and buy more storage units. But the library says there is great demand for the new material. CDs, they account for over a fifth of the library's annual checkouts, and the new edition provides a record of the musicians and music played on KUT for the past 50 years. So what is the inspiration behind St. Vincent's new album? Well, rattlesnakes, tequila, and getting naked in West Texas were part of it. Annie Clark, also known as St. Vincent, is a Texas native and former member of the Polyphonic Spree. In this month's Rolling Stone, Clark describes all that went into her latest effort, her strange and beautiful self-titled fourth studio album. Along with West Texas adventures, Clark also cites her work with David Byrne, Falling Asleep, and Lucid Dreaming. The album St. Vincent is due out Tuesday, February 24th. This is Birth in Reverse by St. Vincent, and you're listening to the Austin Music Experience. I'm Tyler Pratt.
Our guest today on the Austin Music Experience is Margaret Moser, who wears many hats, but for the better part of 30 years, she's been the director of the Austin Music Awards, which takes place this year, March 12th, at the Austin Ballroom in the Convention Center with an amazing lineup. Here we are again, Margaret.
Here we are again.
And I'm grateful for that. And looking forward to the award show, and we'll get to the lineup and all the particulars of that. But I thought it would be fun to give people some background on the Austin. Well, there's two things. There's the Austin Music Poll, and then it manifests in the Austin Music Awards. You took over the poll in what year?
I took it over in 92.
But you were involved with the awards since 84?
Well, since the very first one in 83 that Bob Simmons directed. And then the next year I took over that. And I took a three-year hiatus over in Hawaii in the late 80s and into 91. And my second-in-command, E.A. Sreary, stepped up and directed the show. And then when I got back to Austin in 91, just in time for the 92 show, she went to law school. So I took back over. And that was the time when they said, oh, by the way, you're doing the poll, too. And I was like, Jeff Whittington always did the poll. Why you give me the poll? Because it's part and parcel of the process now. So that's how I inherited the poll.
You mentioned Jeff Whittington, who's one of your co-writers, was one of your co-writers at the Austin Chronicle. Was it his idea for the original poll?
Absolutely. Jeff was a poll head. I mean, he was doing polls back when he was doing the Radio On column for the Daily Texan. And, you know, in my mind, he was the first person who really jumped up in the press and started waving the flag of punk and saying, you know, hey, you know, the British are coming. There's something that's really happening out there. And you know, his column in the Texan, I never missed it because it was, for my money, the most exciting, the most interesting gossip column around. And so I followed his lead.
This is your last year as director of the Austin Music Awards and the poll, isn't it?
Yes. It's very sobering.
That's heavy. Now, I know you've had some health issues to deal with, but also what I've read in quotes from you in the press is that you feel like it's time to hand this over.
I've been making a joke for a couple of years now. I should have stepped down after Bruce Springsteen. And in a sense, you know, that's kind of true. I mean, I think that will probably always remain as like, you know, what was the greatest show you ever did? You know, well, it's hard to beat the boss coming in and standing up with all of our locals, because that was the affirmation that what we did was right. You know, that we were on it when somebody like that came in and connects with somebody local and stands up in front of our local audience like that. So, but it is really time for it. I mean, there's a whole different music scene out there now. I've kind of aged out of what I feel like is my, you know, use by date. And I really believe that the show needs, you know, it needs kind of a facelift. It needs somebody else to come in and rethink what it is that we do and how we present it. So I'm very curious to see how that will happen.
You mentioned Bruce Springsteen. I think it was 2012 that he was at the Austin Music Awards. He showed up. He was a special guest. Some of the other special guests over the years, 2007, I know the date well, Pete Townsend was at the Austin Music Awards. The likes of Lyle Lovett and Kris Kristofferson are mentioned in the current press release, but I'm trying to think in my mind, and of course it's a blur because it is a party and we have a good time, but I remember one time coming upon three quarters of Talking Heads standing in line waiting to present an award. Just if you can remember a few things off the top of your head that are highlights beyond the ones that we mentioned. I don't know if you can, because, again, for me, it's a blur.
Well, that the Talking Heads particularly was a very good one because we had invited them to be guest presenters. But what I remember is coming around the corner of the stage after they'd done their presentation, and they were standing there on the side of the stage with Britt Daniel from Spoon, and all four of them were transfixed by Mother Falcon on stage. And that's one of those moments you just don't forget. You know, I think this band is wonderful. That's why I put them on stage. When people like that, they have their attention, I know I've done the right thing with it.
By a way love.
That was the Austin Orchestral Collective Mother Falcon with a song called Sleep, recorded live in Studio 1A. The Austin Music Awards has seen a lot of history over the course of 32 years. In my interview with director Margaret Moser, I asked her for some of her highlights.
There was the year that Kris Kristofferson showed up, somebody said to me, you know, are you going to write the speech for him to give? And so I thought, oh, well, I better do this. So I wrote out this these words for him to say, because he was presenting Sleep at the Wheel with their award. And I saw it being handed to him, and he looked at it and he folded it up and put it in his pocket. And so I thought, oh, okay. Well, about 30 minutes later, when he gets up on stage, I see him just walk out on stage. And he's so charismatic, unbelievably charismatic. And he just stood in front of the microphone, and without even looking at the paper, he spoke every word that I had written. And to hear my words coming out of Kris Kristofferson's mouth made my heart beat like crazy. And it was one of my favorite moments ever remember.
Tell me about the time early in the 80s when Jimmy Vaughn and Stevie Vaughn played together, because at that point they hadn't been doing that very much.
The year that this was the first year that I directed the Music Awards, and we had the Thunderbirds as the headline bill, and Chesley Milliken, who was Stevie's manager, flew him and the band in from the CBS convention over in Hawaii the day of show, unannounced. And so after the Thunderbirds played, Stevie came out and he played the entire Couldn't Stand the Weather record, which nobody had heard before then. And then he and Jimmy got up and did their double guitarist thing. And I had always heard about this, but in all my years, even at that time, of seeing Stevie and Jimmy separately and together, I had never seen them get up on stage and do that brothers act.
Yeah!
And although, you know, they were doing it for the show, there was very definitely some rivalry going on stage that night. They were trying to outdo each other.
We're talking with Margaret Moser, journalist and also Austin Music Awards director. The Music Awards on March 12th. We'll have appearances by the Minor Mishap Marching Band, Elias Haslanger's Church on Monday. Ray Benson will sit in with them. Lucinda Williams will be there, Texas Tornadoes. Take off your awards show hat for a moment and put on your music poll hat, if you will. The voting, the methodology, the tabulation, I mean, it's intense. People feel like by winning one of these awards, it could really launch their career. Has it gotten any easier for you to make sure that everything's kosher?
Yes, it has. As a matter of fact, just this year, we enforced a confirmation email aspect to the voting, which really cut back on the numbers. But by doing that, it also cut back tremendously on the stuffing of it, so that whatever stuffing attempts were made were even more obvious than they usually are, you know.
And these days, are there new categories and or categories that have been phased out?
There have been categories that have been phased out, but what we really try to do is massage them toward whatever is happening right now. And although we didn't add any new categories this year, we did redefine the electronica category to include EDM as part of its nomenclature on there, to acknowledge that there's a really very fresh and big EDM scene going on.
Online now, there is a resource where people can see who won what in which year and who won the most and all of those sorts of things. Some years were completely dominated by a certain artist. I know Bob Schneider's name comes to mind for a certain year, and I guess a couple years ago, Quiet Company.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the result is of winning the poll? Can it be either a jackpot for the artist or just something to put on their resume, one or the other, somewhere in between?
You know, I can say whatever I think it means, but one of the most interesting comments about that came from White Ghost Shivers a few years ago, who had sent out a campaign that they were asking for their fans to vote for them. And they said, what does winning an Austin Music Award do for you? And they listed out a few things that they felt really helped. And they are a band who has won before on more than one occasion. And so I felt like they really, you know, I was like, wow, thanks. You know, I can say all I want, but here's the band actually saying, you know, well, it gave us a higher profile. And it allowed us to say to people who were interested in booking us, you know, we've won this, which means means that we had the attention of enough people to be rewarded for it. And they named off a couple other things. But as I say, you know, the fact that the bands find value in it, too, is what gives me more satisfaction.
Margaret Moser, who has been involved with the Austin Music Awards and then the poll in one way or another since 1984, this is her last time as the director. And, you know, I know I'm going to see you there anyway, so it doesn't really, it matters, but, you know, I know you're going to be there afterwards, but gosh, do you have any personal thoughts about that? This, you know, what do they say when one door opens, another closes? What are your thoughts about, you know, moving on after 30 years? And also, I should mention, you're retiring from the Chronicle in May as well.
I am. I'm going to be doing one step down and then another on this, and it'll be really interesting to see how that changes my life, if in fact it really changes it very much, because people go, oh, you think you're going to have it easy when you retire. But, you know, I will still be writing for the Chronicle whenever they want me, and, you know, hope to continue to do a lot of things around here that maybe I haven't been able to do so much of, which is really keep a better track on these kids who are playing around. And because I had a series a couple of years ago out at Thread Gills that we did during the summer, and I just don't have time to do that anymore, but I would like to have time to do that kind of thing again.
Well, congratulations on, let's say, the first phase of an amazing career. And I know you'll be involved in any way you can, because knowing you, I know that you're about the music, and that is number one, two, and three for you, and everything else comes afterwards. So I will see you at the music shows and at future award shows, I'm sure. But let's set our sights on this one that's coming up. It's the 32nd anniversary of the Austin Music Awards. It's Wednesday, March 12th at the Austin Ballroom in the Austin Convention Center. It's going to be amazing. It always will be. And the Austin Music Awards director this year, as she has been for so many years, Margaret Moser, has been our guest. Thanks, Margaret.
Thank you.
Coming up, a few Austin Music Award winners from our live archives as the Austin Music Experience continues. Welcome back to the Austin Music Experience. I'm Jody Denberg. After that conversation with the woman behind the Austin Music Awards, Margaret Moser, we thought we'd leave you with some live tracks from some previous winners of the Austin Music Awards, which again takes place on March 12th. One of the biggest sweeps in AMA history was by the band Quiet Company. They won 9 music awards in the 2011-2012 poll, including Band of the Year, Album of the Year, and Song of the Year. Here's Quiet Company with an exclusive recording from Studio 1A on the Austin Music Experience.
If I'm not around, then how could I be any version of the man you need? You're a single mom, and I'm always gone. But when I say I'm alone, screaming at the top of my lungs, screaming at the top of my lungs, I need to say that we're alone, we're all
you closer. I won't make a sound if you don't wanna. I'm just feeling old, so if I let you down, when I let you down, could I be here? So I tell my wife I'll be home before the morning. I will right the wrongs my absence hasn't caused her. I was strong and kind, I will follow through to everything that she asks me to. I will neutralize, I will equalize. But when I say I'm alone, I'm alone, screaming at the top of my lungs, screaming at the top of my lungs. I mean to say that I don't wanna die alone. Let me hear you sing it in a whisper. Let me know which words will draw you closer. I won't make a sound if you don't wanna. I'm just feeling old, so if I let you down, when I let you down, could I be forgiven? Could I be forgiven? Could I be forgiven? Oh, could I be forgiven? Let me hear you singing in a whisper. Let me know which words will draw you closer. I won't make a sound if you don't wanna. Just feeling old, so if I let you down, when I let you down, could I be forgiven? Could I be forgiven? Oh, I'm so tired of practicing on stages. Every empty bar of that decision that I'm making. And I wish I was someone else. Wish that you loved someone else.
Jackass Ginger. I'm looking for stroke should have called my own. I reached down my throat and I grabbed my rack of bones. Looking for a stroke should have called my own. I grabbed my rack of bones. Cut by a blade of grass, lay slain by a drop of rain. Life fell off for 40 feet onto pastures of catastrophe. Sucked out to the drift at sea, floorboard decked out with uncertainty. And opened those motions of unknowable emotions.
Breathe deep, fill up with relief. Don't go mad, don't go mad.
Fluorescence, I plead to the will of the sea. A great soul collected, papers pumping, pumping. These lips us together, they sing and shout it. Cocoon up too, and it said free.
Breathe deep, fill up with relief. Don't go mad, don't go mad. Breathe deep, fill up with relief. Don't go mad. Jackass Ginger, Jackass Ginger, come to me, set me free, set me free. Jackass Ginger, Jackass Ginger.
Recent guests to our Studio 1A, a band that started in Hawaii, gelled in Austin, and then moved to Chicago. Poi Dog Pondering, but that's the Austin lineup doing a version of their song Jackass Ginger, which recently Margaret Moser, our guest today on the program, in a blog in the Austin Chronicle, said was one of her all-time favorite songs. So there's one for Margaret. Poi Dog Pondering have won 5 Austin Music Awards over the year, including Band of the Year. And we also heard Quiet Company, who won just about every award you could win at the AMAs in 2011/2012. And that also was a live Studio 1A recording from Quiet Company. One more, and since this show has been about Margaret Moser and she's stepping down from the Austin Chronicle and the Austin Music Poll and the Austin Music Awards after this year, thought we'd leave you with another of her favorites, her friend Lucinda Williams, who will make an appearance at the Austin Music Awards March 12th. Lucinda is a Hall of Fame member, which is kind of interesting. She hasn't lived in Austin since the 80s, but we still hold her as our own. Her 1988 Rough Trade album, Lucinda Williams, was just issued as a 2-CD set, reissued, I should say. The second disc with some amazing live recordings from the Netherlands. Here's one, Lucinda Williams, The Austin Music Experience. Thank you, Lucinda. Look forward to seeing you at the Austin Music Awards. And that does it for us. You can find all the past episodes of the Austin Music Experience at KUTX.org. And let us know what you think of this episode or any episode on our Facebook page, facebook.com/AustinMusicExperience. The Austin Music Experience is a production of KUTX Austin, produced by Art Levy, with assistance from myself and Tyler Pratt. Our live music engineers are Cliff Hargrove and Casey Cheek. A big thank you to Margaret Moser. I'm Jody Denberg. Good night, Austin, Texas, wherever you are. Thank you.